The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast here on podcast, here on YouTube, and here on Facebook Live. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapell, the founder and the pastor and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. If this is your first time joining us via by Facebook Live, please let us know there under the comment section below. Where you're joining us from, and if this is your first time, let us know that so that we will acknowledge and know that this is your first time joining us. This is going to be an interesting topic. I want to talk about what I'm seeing. This topic, I'm going to bring up a topic that I had with another pastor friend of mine on the telephone today. We talked for about 40 to 45 minutes, and this conversation went on, and man, the Holy Ghost was on it. And he asked me a question about what I'm seeing. He asked me, what do I see happening in this hour? What do I see in the church? What is our hope? What is our future? What does it look like? So I want to share that with you tonight. I want to share with you tonight what I'm seeing prophetically on the horizon, what I'm seeing taking place now, and where I think it's leading. And that's where the title fits in, the mass exodus from dead churches. Let's go. I'm going to go to two places here, guys. I'm going to go over to the book of Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 is where we're going to start out. And then we're going to go over a little bit in Mark chapter 1, and we're just going to talk a little bit for the next 30 minutes or so. And I'm going to, again, share with you what I believe prophetically is taking place and where it's going, what it's leading to, and what it looks like. This is Revelation chapter 3. John the Revelator speaking into the angel of the church in Sardis. This is John the Revelator writing, rather, and the Lord Jesus speaking through him. So I'm going to make that correction. And to the church in Sardis. And this is one of the seven churches, and I believe this is a prophetic picture of timelines, or should we say church ages. You have the Laodicean age, which most of us believe that that's the church age that we're in now. But if you go through and you look at the seven churches, you can pull out certain elements out of each one of these and pull them into where we are prophetically speaking. And watch this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Let me say that again. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. You have a presentation that you're alive. You advertise, your name says that you're alive. Your presentation speaks that you're alive. Your name, your title, your everything that you demonstrate, is that you're alive, but when it comes to actual power, actual demonstration of the Holy Spirit, he says, but I tell you, you are dead. So I want to show you how this is a picture of what's going on right now. I believe, and this is where I'm going to get into this thing, guys, I'm seeing across the board, I'm seeing it was almost like it was a trickle at one point, it was almost like a drizzle, and then it became a sprinkle, and now it's almost like an outpouring on the magnitude or the level in which I'm seeing it. For years now, we have seen, I believe, a defection of what the gospel used to be. What the core message of the gospel used to be. Now you say, what was the core message of the gospel? Let me show you. Mark chapter 1, watch this. John the Baptist came, and I'm going to talk about John more here in just a second. John the Baptist came. John the Baptist came on the scene. He came as a voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. To make ready a people whose heart is turned towards him. All right? His core message, according to your Bible, Mark chapter 1, it said he came preaching a baptism of repentance. He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we all know that John came and prepared the way and then got out of the way, and then Jesus came. And what was Jesus' core message? Well, if you go over to Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, Mark 1:14 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, listen to this, this was his core message, the time is fulfilled, or the time is at hand, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So did you see how you had John who prepared the way and Jesus who continued the way, and his message did not deter from John's message? But then, so what happened? John was put in prison. John was beheaded. And then Jesus continued his earthly ministry. And then Jesus was what? Jesus was put on trial. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was scourged. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was crucified, put in the ground. He suffered through the death, burial, and resurrection. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And then the early church was birthed, Acts chapter 2. And Peter stands up in the midst. Now, what was the core message of the early church led by the Apostle Peter, who was a pillar in the New Testament church, who stood up on the day of Pentecost? What was his message? You go to Acts chapter 2 and read what it says. In fact, let's go there real quick. I didn't plan on going there, but let me go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2. Watch this. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. But listen, I want you to go over here to verse 37, Acts 2:37. Let's go back up to 36, Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he preaches the death, burial, and resurrection. All right, and then in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, or they were convicted. Come on, somebody. No wonder the devil doesn't want this message to be preached. No wonder he attacks the message of the cross. No wonder he attacks the message of the blood. No wonder he attacks the message of repentance. Because anytime you preach on the blood, you preach on the cross, you preach on repentance, and you preach on sin, it cuts to the heart, and it provokes repentance among the people. So in Acts 2:37, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter did not deter from the message that John came to preach. He didn't deter from the message that Jesus preached, that John passed the baton to, and he was raised from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Peter stood up. He continued preaching what had already been preached and what was continued to be preached in the early church. And he said, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I want to speak to you prophetically of what I'm seeing. You say, what does this got to do with the mass exodus of people leaving the dead church? Guys, listen, we have seen an explosion over the years of people deterring or derailing from what the early church preached. All the way from John the Baptist to Jesus to the early church, somewhere down the road, We have gone astray. We have detoured. We went off onto another path and we have begun to preach another gospel. We have preached a gospel that tickles ears. We preached a gospel that conforms to culture, a gospel that conforms to society, a gospel that tickles ears and gathers people around them to teach them what they want to hear, not what they should hear and not what they need to hear. And as a result of it, we see the early church went out, but the modern church is going up. Let me say that again. The early church, their main goal and their main mandate was to go out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We were going out. Now, I'm really preaching to the American church so much more than outside of the American church, because outside of the American church, they are going out into all the world. But I'm just saying here in America, instead of going out, we're going up. We're seeing, instead of multiplying and planting churches, we're trying to get the biggest church. We're trying to build the next Tower of Babel. We're trying to get higher. We're trying to get bigger. We're trying to get more complex. We're trying to gain the masses. We're trying to get more in the seats, more in the pews, more in our pocket. Come on, more on the payroll. And how we're doing that is that we're compromising the gospel. Because when we stand up and we begin to preach the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ, it begins to separate and divide. The people who, oh, and it all boils down, can I tell you something? It all boils down to what you have encountered. If you have ever tasted of, and if you've ever encountered the true, authentic Jesus Christ, the true presence of God, you've had a true conversion, a true encounter with God. Listen to me, friends. You will never settle for the ear-tickling, compromising, watered-down, lukewarm gospel. It will not appease you. It will not satisfy you. It will not crave your hunger. And you will be left unsatisfied. You will be left, come on, discontent. And what will happen is, watch this, it will do and it will produce what I'm seeing now that's intensifying, is people have had enough. They're fed up with this. It's not satisfying them. Their marriage is still broken. Their homes are still broken. They're still bound. They're still in chains. They're still in fetters. They're still bound by habits. They're not getting set free from things. They're still living in adultery. They're still living in pornography. They're not seeing healing manifested. They're not seeing miracles manifested. They're not seeing the supernatural power of God manifested in the church. All they're getting is 30 to 45 minute sermonettes of humanism and self-help, and they're going home the same way they came in. So they're leaving dissatisfied, discouraged, discontent, and as a result of it, they are dying on the inside of them, and the fire, the devotional fire that they once had, is being snuffed out. And they are either, they're staying in dead churches and dying with the masses, or, watch this, or they are rising up and saying enough is enough, and they're leaving and going somewhere where there's a fire burning. That brings me back to this point. I believe prophetically, I believe where this thing is headed is going to go the way that it began. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. That which was is that which shall be. In other words, if you want to know how it began, or you want to know how it ends, it's going to be how it began. So when I go prophetically, looking through the prophetic lens of the Spirit of God and look back at the early church, when I look at this thing, how it started, watch this. There was a man by the name of John the Baptist who came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Who did what? Who prepared the way of the Lord, who prepared the way of the Messiah, who made paths, who made the path straight, who turned the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. this man was only one man and could only do so much. So your Bible says that he came, he preached repentance, he preached a gospel of repentance, and he preached so hard that your Bible says that the masses, read it, read Mark chapter 1, read Matthew chapter 1, or read the first three chapters of Matthew, the first three chapters of Mark, read the first three chapters of Luke. Even in the book of John, read it. And it says that they came from all the regions about. They came from Judea. They came from Samaria. They came from Galilee. They came from the uttermost. They began to leave the synagogues. They began to leave the temples. And they came to hear what John had to say and to hear his message. And the Bible says that the masses gathered and they began to be baptized in the water of the Jordan for the remission of their sins. Why? Because the people became, oh, come on, let him who has ears to hear. The people became discontent with the same old rigmarole, the same old routine, the same old message. They got tired of the same routine, the same programs, the same cycles. They got tired of hearing something that was being preached, come on, every Saturday, every Sabbath. To all my Sunday worshipers, to every Sunday service was the same. A 30-minute sermonette got them out the door, but there was no change, no transformation, no fire, no deliverance, no Holy Ghost, no salvations, no, come on, there was no breakthroughs happening. So the people grew weary. They became discontent. And so when somebody came along in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah, come on, somebody, the people, instead of remaining in the dead places, left and was magnetized towards the voice crying in the wilderness. I'm telling you, prophetically speaking, that this is happening even in this hour. Guys, God is not looking to raise up a personality. It's not good. Don't look for a John in the wilderness. Look for a group. See, God spoke through, he spoke through a Moses in times past. He spoke through a Noah in times past. He spoke through a Joseph in times past. He spoke through an Abraham. He spoke through an Isaac and a Jacob. And he spoke through men in times past. But now that the death, burial, and resurrection has taken place, he now speaks through the body. He speaks through you and me. He speaks through a remnant. And I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro over the entire earth, looking for someone he can show himself through whose heart is turned towards him. He's looking for a body of believers. Watch this. He is pouring out his spirit upon, who will be baptized in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. So it's not a John in the wilderness. It's a group of burning ones, a group of burning, sold out Nazarites. Come on, somebody, a remnant in this hour that is fed up with dead churches, dead synagogues, dead temples, the same old, same old. They're tired of religion as normal, and they want more. They want revival. They want awakening. They want a move of God. So watch this. So God is pouring out a spirit. He's raising up a remnant that is baptized with the same spirit as Elijah. And you say, how are we going to know them? How are we going to distinguish them? Watch this. Because they will possess the message that John possessed. They will preach a message of repentance. They will not deter from the early apostles' message. They will not deter from the same message that John preached, the same message that Jesus preached, and the same message that Peter and the early apostles preached. They will stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. They will preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They will provoke a generation to turn from this perverse and wicked generation, not run to it. They'll tell you to run from it. They'll preach a message that says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Come on. They're going to have a message of fire. They're going to have a message of Holy Ghost. They're going to preach signs, wonders, and miracles. They're going to preach truth, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. They're going to preach sanctification. They're going to preach consecration. They're going to preach, come on, I'm going to say it. They're going to even preach holiness. They're going to be a generation that's going to rebuild the altar. They're going to restore the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I'm telling you, come on, there was a time when, come on, I know I'm not talking to everybody tonight, but I'm talking to a remnant that's listening to me tonight. And you become discontent. You become discouraged. You become disappointed. Because it seems like, come on, your conversations, even among your own brethren, even among your own remnant around you, you begin to say things like, why is it that it seems like everybody is just following the crowd? Where is the voice of truth? Where is the voice of one crying in the wilderness? Where is the voice that's going to resurrect the true gospel of repentance, the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Where is the voice that's going to preach against sin, that's going to raise up the standard and not lower the standard? Where is the voices that's going to resurrect holiness and righteousness and sanctification? Well, friend, I'm going to tell you something. There is still a remnant here. We're still in the earth today. We may not be in your city. We may not be in your church, but somebody is. I'm ready to link arms. Listen, I've got some brothers and sisters right here in my region, right where I am locally here in Indiana. The Lord is beginning to shine a spotlight on them. Some of them are watching and listening right now on this broadcast, and you know who you are. You're right here in this region. And God is beginning, I love it. God's beginning to shine a spotlight right on those individuals. And He's revealing to me who I can link arms up with, who I can partner with, who is hungry for more, who's ready for revival, who's ready to see an awakening shake our region, shake our cities, shake our nation. In Jesus' name. Come on, are you ready for that? Come on. I'm telling you, it may not happen overnight. You may not see it happen tomorrow. You may not see it next week. But come on, I'm here to tell somebody tonight, don't become discouraged. Don't become discontent to the point where you throw in the towel. Come on, just keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. I'm telling you, God has a way to begin to unify and begin to gather people together who are in one mind and one accord. I want to leave you with this next thought and then we're going to close. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this tonight, about 30 minutes. Here's what's interesting. If you go to Acts chapter 2, before the day of Pentecost came, when it was fully, when it was in one mind, when they were in one mind and one accord, before the outpouring came on Acts chapter 2, there was, when you study early church history, there was 500 brethren. And when we say brethren, that's kind of like, it's a term, a general term. There was men and women, by the way. Mary, she was there, but there was 500 individuals there. When Jesus spoke to them and He said, go ye and tarry in the city of Jerusalem, go into an upper room and wait and tarry for the promise. He told them that. There was 500, but then we fast forward and we get to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, something happened. Watch this. 380 of them were nowhere to be found, but there was 120 that remained. What this tells me, guys, I want to encourage somebody tonight. Listen, right before it breaks out, right before there's an outpouring, right before the fire falls, come on, right before the rains begin to fall, right before a move of God takes place, before the breakthrough, before the blessing, before the open door, before the answer to prayer. Watch this. There is always a subtraction before there's a multiplication. Oh, let me say it again. Before the fire falls, and before there's an outpouring, before there's a breakthrough, there's always a subtraction before there's a multiplication. Before Jesus came into Galilee full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God, before there was miracles and signs and wonders, when He came out of the Jordan River and He was baptized in the Holy Ghost, your Bible says the Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why? Because, listen, it's in the wilderness, golly, it's in the wilderness that God takes us through to get things out of us, come on, the subtraction, so that He can add to us. Oh, there's so many different facets I could go on this. On a private personal level, God takes us through this subtraction phase or this removal phase. He's trying to take out the things, come on, the enemy has filled us up with so that he can make room for things that he wants to put in us. And let me make this real simple. This is what our senior pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, Evangel World Prayer Center, used to say this all the time. He'd always pray this, Lord, take out of me what the devil has tried to put in me and put in me what God has always intended to put in me. Lord, I submit to the subtraction process so that I can be a vessel that can hold the multiplication process. Pour me out so you can fill me up. Can I tell you, even in the church, God is in the separation and the subtraction process so that he can prepare you for the multiplication process. See, some of y'all get discouraged because the 12 people left that was the inner core. Maybe they were the inner core leadership of your church and you became discouraged and discontent because you had your 12 leave. But what you don't know is God was getting rid of the goats and he was getting rid of the tares because he's making room. Come on, for just because you lost the 12 doesn't mean he's not preparing you for three. Listen, God can bring three in to replace the 12 because some of y'all are so focused on quantity and not quality. Golly, God did more. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. God did more through quantity than he did with, he did more through quality than he did through quantity. Let this soak in for a minute. He turned the world upside down with 12. There was 500, but only 120 remained. 380 got too busy. They got too distracted. They got too caught up. They got discouraged. They complained. They murmured. They didn't like how the upper room was furnished. They didn't like the carpet that was there. They didn't like the carpet color that was chosen. They didn't like the sound team. They didn't like the type of music they were playing. They didn't like that they went from the redback hymnal to modern contemporary worship. So they left. Come on, they left the upper room and they went to another synagogue. They went to another temple uptown. They got discouraged. They couldn't hang there. They didn't want to do it anymore. They got distracted. But listen, but the 120 that remained faithful all the way to the day, it says, and then suddenly. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, if you can hang through the subtraction process, then guess what? The next phase is the and suddenly. God takes you through the wilderness. He begins to take some dead things out of you. He begins to take pride out of you. He begins to take anger out of you. He begins to take a lust out of you. He begins to take bitterness out of you. He begins to take this out of you. And he begins to remove that out of you. He begins to separate you from some folks that you don't need to be around anymore. But then, come on, just when you think you've had enough, and you say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Your Bible says that the Lord God raised up angels to minister to Jesus. Here comes from our help from upon high. Come on. What God, listen, you in the natural, you think that you've exhausted all your resources and you think that there's no way God can do something at this point. God, I've taken all that I can do. What are you going to do now? And all of a sudden, he shows up with a supernatural. He shows up with the resource. So the Bible says that he dispatched angels to strengthen him. Come on. God was taking everything out of Jesus because he was preparing him to take on the sins of the world. He was preparing him to get ready to go into the cities of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And he was getting ready to cast out devils. He was getting ready to lay hands on the sick. He was getting ready to see blind eyes open. He was getting ready to see the deaf speak, the dumb. Come on. He was getting ready to see the dumb speak and the deaf hear. He was getting ready to see the dead raised. Come on. So here's what happened. There was the wilderness. There was the strengthening. And then your Bible says, and then there was the suddenly. And then suddenly he came in the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. And then that's when we begin to see miracles show up. So here you are. You have 500. And then there's a subtraction process. And then they're strengthened. And then in Acts chapter 2, it says, and then suddenly a sound from heaven came. A mighty rushing wind came. and they were all filled with cloven tongues of fire that rested upon each one of them. So I came by tonight to encourage you tonight. Listen, it may take you to leave some dead places. It may cause you, come on, the Spirit of God may be calling you to leave some dead relationship, some dead places, some dead churches, some dead things behind. Come on, I remember in the Bible when an individual came to Jesus and he came to him and said, "Lord, may I follow you? Permit me to follow you. Just permit me permission to go back and bury my father. And then I'm going to come and follow after you." And Jesus looked at this man and he said something that from a natural perspective, it looks like he was very rude to him. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you come and follow me." What kind of thing is that for Jesus to say to somebody? And I asked the Lord one time, I said, "Why would you say that?" And the Lord, come on, this is what I feel like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And he said that if we play around and hang around dead things long enough, then we are going to become dead ourselves. Some of y'all's played around with dead stuff long enough. You played around in dead churches long enough. You played with dead religion long enough. Come on, it's not satisfying you. It's not satisfying your hunger. It's not filling you up. It's not encouraging you anymore. It's not stoking that flame in you. It's time, friends. It's time. I'm telling you, I'm seeing right now, I'm seeing a mass exodus of people leaving the dead places, and they're going, listen, don't look, and I'm going to say this prophetically, don't look, I believe the next move of God is not going to come out of the places that have been built up, but I believe it's from a spark of places that have been built going out. It's going to come from the rural churches, the small gatherings, the home churches, the little churches in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the woods somewhere, or in the rural places, in the country roads, in the back behind where out of the city limits places where there's only 20 people or 25 people or 30 people. Because we so think that God has got to move through these churches that have exhausted all. And listen, I'm not slamming modern. I know people's going to read this and think I'm slamming modern churches. I'm not. Because again, listen, guys, listen to my heart. I'm all about the bait. I'm okay with the fog machines. I'm okay with the sound. I'm okay with the lights. I'm okay with the platform, theatrics. I'm okay with all that as long as you've got the Holy Ghost, as long as you've got the fire in it. If the fire's in it and the Holy Ghost is in it, then there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, there's churches, and I've been to them. I've preached in them many times. They don't have all this, but what they have in them is a hunger and a desperation on the inside of them. And I'm going to tell you, I preached at one of them just a couple of weeks ago, and it's one of them's right there in Cordon, Indiana, right here where I live. There's a hunger that they possessed. They're hungry for a move of God. They don't care about all that stuff. They just want to see their city and their region turned upside down for the glory of God. I know this message is for somebody tonight. There's got to be a remnant out there that is going to resonate with this. Who am I talking to now? Who has the spirit and the anointing of Elijah living on the inside of them that still possesses that message of repentance and turning away from a perverse and wicked generation, who's not interested in conforming to this culture and this society, but is interested in transforming a culture and a society? So this word's for you tonight. If this word's for you, let it fan that flame. Let it stoke that fire. Receive this tonight in the name of the Lord. Come on. Receive this tonight in the name of the Lord. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us at. That's our main location. That's our main website. You guys that are watching this by Facebook Live, you can click down on the link below where it says support us. You can click on that link and it's going to be where you can subscribe to us. You can bookmark our website. We've got an app that's coming. It's not yet. It's in the way. It's in the works. It's almost here. It's coming just a little bit longer, and we're going to have our official ETH app. So we want to welcome you guys to do that. You guys on podcasts, you guys on YouTube that are watching this and listening to this. If you'll hang on at the end of this message, there's going to be more information on how you can follow us, how you can support us, whether it be electronic giving or by check or money order or physical mailing address. All that information is there on Facebook Live. You'll click on the link. It's going to be there. And also, if you're listening on podcasts or watching by YouTube, at the end of this message, you're going to see all that information as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. Again, we ask that you always be prayerful of how you can be a blessing to this ministry, either by praying, by partnering with us financially each month, or a one-time gift, or all of it. And you know who you are. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And if you've been blessed and encouraged by our weekly broadcast, we want to encourage you to be a part of what God's doing and what we're doing. And we want you to partner with us to help us do what we're doing. So again, we would not be able to do this if it weren't for you guys. Listen, the app alone was a lot of money. And listen, and we've got a great testimony. I'm going to share that, not now, but when the time comes, I've got a powerful testimony I want to share about that, about the blessing of the Lord on this app that we're creating right now. So let me real quick, I'm going to say this. This is Thursday. What is today? The 21st. We will not be back on here for a week. So that's a full 7 days. We're going to take off. Because we're going to rest and we're going to spend time. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to be getting into the Word so I can get some messages for when we do come back in a week from now. We will have some fresh bread out of the oven and that we're going to be able to give you. So again, we will not be back on here all week, probably until next Friday. So be looking for it. So a whole week we're going to take off so you guys can spend time with your families, Thanksgiving, all that. And we encourage you to do that. Spend time with your family. So that's what we're going to do. So until then, God bless you guys. Be safe in your travels. I pray the Lord's angels be with you and keep you in all that you're coming in and going out, and may his countenance shine upon you. Continue to pray for Brother Ricky. Pray for my physical health. Pray for my safety. Pray for my family. Pray for our ministry, and just whatever the Holy Ghost leads you to do. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.